San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB or tune in radio, you can hear the show as it airs on any device. And, of course, all the podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, accomplished marathon runner, accomplished author, best-selling author, that is, a philanthropist, family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. Great to be here. Heading towards the holidays.
Absolutely. We're in December finally, and it's an important day for our first guest tonight, which we'll get into in a moment. But
we're actually in November, but whatever.
Yeah, but with this airing December 2nd, yeah. Richard. So, so hoping you all had a good holiday. We're going to talk in the past tense here a little bit. But in any case, this show tonight is going to be all about entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurship, developing products. Everyone's watched Shark Tank, and everyone's had an idea here and there how to create something. Usually it's an engineer, and how to create and how to market and IP and all that other good stuff. So we've got some experts and people who've been successful with their products and ideas. And the first one tonight is the CEO and founder of Wisp Industries, and his name is Eben Dobson. Eben, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much.
So, Eben, you need to know I'm a customer because I shop at Bed Bath & Beyond.
And what do you buy of his?
A whisk broom.
A whisk broom?
You did.
Wisp?
I did.
Oh, did
yeah,
you?
Wisp.
All right.
I bought one.
Well, let's get a little background on Eben and find out, you know, where he's born and raised, went to school, and how he started to get all these great ideas. Well, so why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I'm actually one of those strange guys in San Diego that was born and raised here in
San Diego. We've had a few, but not many.
Not many. Scripps Hospital a few years ago.
Wow.
Off high school in Oregon, college in Montana, where I played a little football and moved back here immediately after I got my my dose of cold weather.
So what did you major in college?
Business.
Business, okay.
And you came back here for a job or just because you wanted better weather, or why'd you come back?
Well, I was coming back here regardless of work or anything, just climate, and this is my roots. But simultaneously, I did get into the financial advisory business straight out of college, so... And had some great opportunities, many, many years of doing that. And but always had this entrepreneurial bug inside of me that probably chose the worst time in life to try to do that. Two girls heading off to college and kind of an established family environment. So, but here we are.
Excellent. So what did you do when you first got out of college and got back here?
Well, I worked as a financial advisor for an old firm. It was IDS. Financial services, now American Express, Ameriprise, had a franchise of that, did that for many, many years, helping people in investment strategies.
Yeah, it's, well, what year? I'm curious, because that's a business that's up and down.
Well, I started in 1988.
Okay.
To date myself.
So you saw a couple of cycles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Came in after one and lived through barely another and just... it was one of those careers that kind of chose me. I didn't choose it, but enjoyed it, and kind of life kind of deals you the cards that you play.
Yeah, what year did you make a decision to get out of the financial services business? Was it boom times or bust times?
Well,
did that have anything to do with it?
It was just actually, it was the entrepreneurial spirit that chose.
Okay.
I developed a product, an idea for the game of golf, and I said, I'm going to do this, and it has pivoted several times, and subsequently, like all startup ideas, we have, you know, kind of grown it to where it is today. And that was when I went, I got to do this all in.
What year was that?
It was 2010.
Okay, so after the crash.
Yeah.
After the crash. Great time to start a new business, right?
Right. There was
no capital out there.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It was, you know, years and years of telling people not to do things like invest in startup ideas. I changed my mind and kind of reevaluated my pitch there. So, but it worked out very, very well.
So 2010, you started with any capital or just all just sort of bootstrap yourself, your family?
I had both that, and I had an angel right off the bat.
Oh, good.
had the resources to help capitalize the idea, the original idea. And then when we pivoted to developing Wisp Industries, mm-hmm. which is the focus to the more away from golf and to the home consumer and the complete mm-hmm. reinvent of the broom and dustpan and cleaning products, subsequent okay. cleaning products, it was then that capital was raised and the corporation was set up and developed. And and so,
well, I'm just curious, what was the golf product?
Well, the original Wisp was an incredibly smart idea for anyone that's played golf, was a small little brush device that acted as an etiquette tool to clear sand off of putting greens after a bunker shot.
Sure.
And so it was selling, and it works amazingly well. And mm-hmm. I have played the game for many, many years and have some networking done there. And it was about 2 years into that a superintendent came up to me and said people were stealing them off the golf course, literally. And I said, what for? And he goes, have you tried these on your home floors?
Wow.
And I ran home, handed it to my wife, and she said, this is the best broom I've ever used. So
really?
That was the double light bulb moment. And
wow.
Here we are.
So did you have to modify the product then for home use, or was it?
Absolutely. The same principles applied with the bristles in a 90-degree mm-hmm. short, condensed kind of squeegee-like formation, but we actually employed an engineer, and we actually started developing it, and then we needed a pan to go with it, and we have the only foot-operated dustpan in the world, where you just...
Yeah, as I mentioned, you guys are in Bed Bath & Beyond,
uh-huh.
and I get to shop there a lot because I tag along with my wife,
wow,
Mary, who shops there a lot, and so we bought one. It's really cool.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. Thanks, Mary. But just to back up, can you describe the product a little bit, just for sake of the listeners? Because I think a lot of people, well, I know you've gotten a lot of TV exposure recently,
yeah.
but I know a lot of people haven't seen it. It's really unique.
It is unique, but it's the first completely re-innovative idea in the cleaning space. Mm-hmm. When you it isn't sweeping any longer. It's what we call wisping, where it's used in a pulling, pushing motion
right.
as a squeegee. So the process can be done incredibly ergonomically and specifically one-handed. That can help many, many people with kind of challenges physically to do the everyday chore of cleaning. And then obviously by lightly stepping on the wisp pan and pulling it right into it, and has a comb and things of that nature. And it's been a very simple light bulb moment for those that have mm-hmm. been in the industry for so long, who have said that we've changed and ergonomically designed a broom and a dustpan. Well, the fact is they never really did.
Right.
This
exactly.
is completely a change.
Well, the thing about cleaning, though, is because I have a lot of older folks that I work with, and I know cleaning can be really hard on one's knees, for example, because of bending.
Absolutely.
And that's not an issue whatsoever with your product.
It isn't. And the reachability and all of those things. In fact, the way I always premise this, I didn't just think of all this in one full swoop. Mm-hmm. We instilled all different demographics and said, what would you like to see this evolve into? So mm-hmm. I basically love to say that we listened to people
okay.
and built what they wanted or would buy versus build someone and sell it.
We, right.
And that's how it's been developed. And to this day, we count on feedback for customers to develop our continued line of products.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start with the golf situation?
We talked about that, Joe, while you had to take a quick brief.
Yeah.
But I noticed you have a pet application too, right?
Well, again, this is from customer feedback. We've had tens and fifties of thousands of people that have owned this now, and their reviews and so forth. And one of the greatest discoveries that we had is our bristles create an electrostatic electricity. Mm-hmm. And so the use of this for pet hair, even on carpeting, mm-hmm. is phenomenal. And again, didn't design it that way. It was kind of a byproduct of that. So we've really listened to those people who own pets, and they've said it's been one of the greatest tools that they have in their repertoire.
Car interiors are important for that, right, for pet hair, because I'm still finding my mother's chihuahua's pet hairs 3 years later, for God's sake. But,
yeah.
Right?
The discovery I made was demonstrating the wisp on carpet, because that was the only place I could, and discovered mm-hmm. when I turned it over that it was inundated with hair, and I went, oh, my God, what is this carpet made of? Uh-huh. And as they said, it's a house full of pet hair.
Well, we should give the website. It's thewisp.com, right? W-I-S-P, correct?
Yep. And there's petwisp.com as well.
Okay, so there is a pet wisp.
All right. We're going to come back with Evan Dobson, all about discovery of products and wisp right after this. Hang on. All right, we are back with Evan Dotson, CEO and founder of Wisp Industries. You've probably seen his products in stores on TV. It's the Wisp broom and the dustpan all in one. It's for pets and for homes. And how'd you get from concept to the first tangible product? That's always a big step, isn't it?
It is. To finally kind of invest your money, which is incredibly valuable at any early stage development, is to avoid the big mistake, and that's developing something that isn't going to work and mm-hmm. things of that nature. So you must put great people around you, and that's what I sought first in every aspect of this company, is to surround myself with smarter people than I, specifically in the product engineering, and we were capable of doing that.
And how'd you find those people? Just talking
just to... Absolutely networking yeah. through any, and that's one of my gifts, is to be able to meet with
engage people.
You had built a pretty good network, I assume, as a financial advisor.
Yeah, but not necessarily in that world.
Space.
But I had enough centers of influence sure. that could kind of get me into the right
relationships.
So you got an idea for a product, and you want to get some advice and help, and you know, how do I make this happen? And were you seeking out engineers or other entrepreneurs? Were they mostly helpful, or is it mostly your network of, like, you know, of personal friends? Or
well,
that's the hard part for most people, you know, getting help.
The first thing you do is you really surround yourself with an IP attorney or someone with that type of experience, because before you start blabbing about something, you want to protect it mm-hmm. in this day and age. And so that was the first thing I did, and I thought that was the most one of the most expensive
sure.
Ventures that I did. Mm-hmm. There's some incredible classy stories about that.
And what year? What year was that, by the way?
Well, it was right after I finished concept, and I said I need to seek this out. First, you want to do some research to make sure that.
But was
somebody,
it like 2001 or
2011?
2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
So started in 10.
10
right.
was kind of golf, and then right. we formed Wisp Industries in 2012.
Okay.
So, but
so drafting, or I mean, you must.
Well, now it's. With the advent of all the SolidWorks and all of the CAD capabilities to do, and now you can print things. I mean, prototyping and idea formation has incredibly come a million miles, and more quickly and less expensive. So, mm-hmm. but then I established a relationship with an engineer that was able to get us into a three-dimensional prototype that we could actually test. And once we had the IP around it, and then we said, okay, let's run this. And then you must have the resources to get into the tooling, and then do you do it domestically? Do you do it offshore? Mm-hmm. I mean, you must, you know, now there's a sourcing network that needs to be developed. And
mm-hmm.
so, and I just surrounded myself with successful people that had done this in the past to try to save as much time. There are, you know, entrepreneur and inventive type of incubators you can go to if you're out there and you want to help, try to bypass a lot of this, but you give something for it. And we mm-hmm. wanted to develop this all mm-hmm. on our own.
Gotcha. So are they made in the U.S. or elsewhere?
Both, actually. Okay. We have we started here, and we also have a division over in China as well,
mm-hmm.
Not only for U.S. consumption, but also worldwide consumption, because we're in over 14 countries now.
Is that right?
Yeah. So how did you roll the product out to consumers?
Well, what we realized, you test everything. Mm-hmm. You test, is it an infomercial? Is it a direct response product? Is it a branded product? Is it something you want to show through? You can't do it via print ad or static picture. We
right.
had something that we needed to show, so we used all live demonstration and video
okay.
capabilities. We've done the QVCs and all
right.
these types of things all over the world. But then we... with the advent now, and this is our biggest breakthrough, quite frankly, was the fact that we decided to stay away from brick and mortar at this point
mm.
and go more after direct to consumer because
mm-hmm.
of our product has the ability to.
I assume it's on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Amazon's a very good friend of ours. And we're on almost every marketplace available.
Walmart, now. I guess.
Walmart.com.
But, and I realize you may not be able to say this on air, but I'm just curious, what was the total capital commitment for everything all said and done to get to where you are today from start to finish, roughly? And if you can't say that because it's personal, just tell me that. But I'm just...
Well, I don't have the number off the top of my
I mean,
head,
roughly.
But it's
yeah,
in...
Yes.
It's over seven figures now.
Okay,
all
over
in,
seven
so.
Figures, okay.
Wow.
And
are you at liberty to disclose in round numbers how well you're doing gross-wise?
We're going to have our best year ever. We're going to crack... 12 month over $3.5 million in sales. And
oh, wow.
The reason for that is as you grow and learn the direction in which you want to go, and again, our competitive advantage is we really want to seek out the millennial customer, who all of us now are kind of ordering on our tablets, our phones, and our computers, and they want it at their front door in 2 days, and that's kind of our competitive advantage against some of the more legacy brands out there in the cleaning space. Right. We've been able to kind of crack that code, and we're pretty excited about that. So,
marketing, social media, or what do you do?
Oh yeah, social media. We went viral last year to the tune of, you combine last year and this year, of well over 100 million people
wow.
have seen our videos. We're going to continue to build more content to show, because again, once people are exposed to the idea, we've really developed a better mousetrap in the simplicity of the most commoditized.
I wonder if you'd like to market a radio show, Richard.
Yeah, Richard. But lessons learned. What are your greatest lessons learned along the way?
Yeah, tell us what you told us at the break about when you
first
developed.
That was a great story.
Well, you know, there's a million stories and we could be here all day, but one of the greatest stories early on was when I was so proud of the fact that I was standing there with a completely finished product that was ready to be sold to a consumer. And I stood there and looked out the window and said, oh, my God. He says, well, you've done the easy part. Now go distribute it. And that was 5 years ago. I made the product can be developed in months, and it could take multiple years. What we have done is accumulated 5 years of learning experience, because we chose not to license it. We chose not to sell it off or use some sort of incubator. We did it ourselves. I did it, circling myself with amazing people. And we've pivoted several times on our marketing strategies until we've honed in on this.
Did the QVC, was that a big help? Obviously, it helped Joan Rivers out a lot, right?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of successful launches on those
QVC.
QVC and all those live shopping. They're amazing, amazing networks. But it just shows you the energy of when you can genuinely express the benefits of something and show someone the integrity of which a QVC has is their customer base is loyal because of their integrity. They're not going to sell you a piece of junk.
Right.
They're going to show you this is good. Mm-hmm. It goes through an incredible vetting process to even get on there.
I was going to say, how hard is it to get on that show? And there was some movie or something about there, wasn't it? About the
well, there was a joy.
Yeah, that's the one.
Joy.
I saw. Yeah.
So we lived that ourselves.
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah, I saw that film. It was good.
It doesn't come without risk, but at the same time, to be able to expose your product. Now, in the evolution of wanting to sell something, especially a consumer good item in a very commoditized category such as the broom, how do you tell too many people and not have enough supply chain? And how do you tell not enough and have way too much supply chain? So the years of testing and learning of how to calibrate the recognition or the awareness to supply chain and having the resources as a company to be able to meet those. You don't want to run to failure rather than crawl to success.
And where do you see the company, say, in the intermediate term, say 3, 4, 5 years down the road?
Well, we definitely believe that our exit strategy is to be absorbed by a bigger brand or a bigger institution that already has the logistical wherewithal to meet the potential demand for this and our brand. So we're really going to continue within the confines of our resources and our current investors to
Would that Shark Tank be of any interest to you? But you know, I
live on Shark Tank every day. If you've got a checkbook, I'll pitch you.
Well, I've heard. Now we had some other guests on, and they make you sign away 5% even if you don't get on the show. How do you like that? They have the option.
Yep.
You know, which I think, talk about sharks.
Sharks is right.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
But some brands have been made out of it.
Yeah, that's true. True. But anyway, you have any other ancillary product in the works that you can tell us about, or is that?
Well, we have incredible lines that we haven't really exposed yet. We've reinvented the push broom. We're going to start trying to talk about more of instead of a push broom, because we all know that. But we have a 24-inch model, an 18-inch version. We have a mini wisp, which is 6 inches, the best little wisp with a little dustpan that goes with it, or wisp pan, mini wisp pan. Has been incredibly popular for cleanups around the, and every car should have one. We have one specifically coming for RVs, and then we're going to get into a more of a commercial line that's coming, because more commercial institutions are looking at our technology and implementing it around. It's just faster, easier, and more efficient to clean up spills. We're not going to replace the broom used for construction sites and things like that. But
anyway, we have to wrap it right there. But Eben Dobson with The Wisp, thewisp.com. Thank you very much. The CEO, founder, entrepreneur, doing great things and good things ahead. Thanks for being
with us. Thank you very much, guys.
Right.
Appreciate
it. We're going to be back with two more entrepreneurs right after this break. Hang on. We'll be right back.